So we began this last time. We began this last Sunday, and we talked about the first two moves that happened in this story. And the one was conversation. You know, they're talking to themselves on the road. And then dejection came through. They had so hoped that Jesus would be the one to redeem Israel. And so as they walked, they were filled with sadness. So today I want us to go ahead and walk through this a little bit more, because the next move that sort of happens here is a moment of explanation. You know, that person on the road, which they would find out later would be Jesus, began to talk with them and open the scriptures up before them. Let me ask a question this morning. Who here has been on the walk to Emmaus? Raise your hand. Okay, some of you have been. That's a global ministry that includes people of all ages and all denominations and all churches. It's a weekend experience of Christian spiritual renewal. It's an opportunity to meet Jesus in a new way. It's a ministry by the Upper Room, the same that publishes the devotional that we're all familiar with. And the goal of the Walk to Emmaus is to equip and to inspire and to challenge local church members for Christian service, whether it's in their homes, whether it's in the church or community or at their places of work. I went on mine as a clergy when I was serving on the Winchester District. We went to Camp Overlook, one of our United Methodist camps there in the mountains. It was a real good blessing to me. I suggest you, if you don't know about it, Google it, read about it. We have some brochures out here in the hallway. Pray about it. If you're interested in going, I'll sponsor you. Every person is sponsored by a pastor. The Emmaus group that's in this area is called Peninsula Rainbow. That might have been where you walked, or you may have walked in a different one. It's based out of Hampton, and it ministers to people in the peninsula and the Tidewater area. Something else here that came to mind is this moment of explanation came up on the road. We're looking to try to explain a lot of things in the life of the church right now, in the life of the denomination. So I want to let you know that I'm working with some folks here on an idea of having a few of the delegates who attended the recent general conference to come to Bethany and to share their experience. I didn't go. What I read from articles and blogs and, you know, hearsay, and I know, you know, you can only take that with a grain of truth. You know, I'd like to hear from people who were there. I think an explanation of how decisions were made and what happened, and of course how it impacts us here at Bethany, I think that would be beneficial to us. So I want to let you know that I'm thinking about that and working with that right now. I'm looking at an event sometime between Memorial Day and Father's Day, and I'll just share updates, you know, as that develops, okay? So they went from a moment of explanation to a moment of recognition. It's interesting in this story, in this account, Jesus ate two times. Did you notice that? He ate two times, one in verse 30 and one in verse 42. And I asked myself, why? Why is it important to include the dietary travels of Jesus in this story? I think one answer might be that the risen Jesus has an appetite. The risen Jesus has taste buds and a digestive tract, okay? He was not a ghost, an apparition, a spirit, as some people have, you know, tried to posit down throughout the years. That was that time, and in that first time of recognition, that first moment, a lot of people say, well, just how did that happen? I mean, they're sitting there eating, and all of a sudden, they discover everything, and Jesus vanishes. Tell me about that, you know. Well, there's many thoughts about that. A lot of things have been written. A lot of things have been published. Here's my thought on it. I don't know if this has been published before or not, but this is my thinking on it. I think that when Jesus took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them, I think that at that moment, Cleopas saw the nail prints in Jesus' wrists. And I think right then he said, this is him. This is Jesus. Now, a lot of people were crucified in that day. We know that two others were crucified with Jesus on the same day. And some people have offered that to be maybe something, but they saw and they said, it's him. It's him. And the scripture then says that he disappeared. He just vanished out of sight. Now that's unusual, isn't it? This is a very unusual account. But you know, God specializes in the unusual. Amen? Life is full of unusual and hard to define moments, hard to describe moments. They didn't even have the words for it. They said, didn't our hearts burn within us when all of this was occurring? That moment of recognition. Think back to the time when you first recognized Christ as your Savior. The next moment was a moment of proclamation. They were so energized about what happened. They were so on fire, their hearts burning within us. They walked the full 7 miles back to Jerusalem right there. You know, that's how we are. When something good happens to us, we want to tell someone. We can't keep it to ourselves. When it's good, we really want to share it. And those two didn't waste any time here. They found the others, and they told them about this good, mysterious, mystical, wonderful thing they experienced. One commentator put it this way. This is a little snippet from my file. I wish I knew who said it. One commentator said this, said Jesus opened the scriptures to them. And then Jesus opened their eyes for them. And then he opened their mouths for them and ultimately for others. Whenever there's a moment of proclamation, whenever there's a moment of recognition, there always has to be a moment of reconciliation. We either have to reconcile what we thought we knew to new information or to an experience to now another experience, and now that experience shapes that. And I just want to say to you as your pastor that as we walk through this time with denominational issues, with local church issues, with community issues, and things like that, listen to Jesus saying, "Peace be with you." Try to hear that. Don't let the doubts take over. And can we just sort of say it plain this morning? Doubt is not the opposite of faith. Doubt is an ingredient of faith. Faith is trust in spite of a lack of evidence. David Luce, on his website that he's entitled In the Meantime, he writes this. He says, the promise of the resurrection is so outlandish, so uncommon, it's always elicited a measure of doubt. But it has also always elicited changed lives as well. And in these moments of reconciliation, let's be patient with ourselves. And let's be patient with one another when faith and understanding come slower than we would like for it to. I want you to think this morning about this. Answer this. What recent thing happened to you that was so great that you needed extra time to absorb it? Think about what that was. To really realize what it was or what happened or what it was about. And let's be open to the Holy Spirit helping us understand the scriptures. This going through the scriptures occurs in this story several times. So it's an important point for us. And then I would offer this too. Listen to Jesus when he says, "You are my witnesses." We're witnesses whether we're confident or confused, whether we're bold or shy. Listen to Jesus when he says, "You are my witnesses." Caroline Lewis on Dear Working Preacher writes this. She writes, "As it turns out, witnessing is not voluntary, but a state of being." You see, too often when we think of witnessing, we think of maybe going door to door, or we think of trying to convince someone to believe or to make a profession of faith, or we hear a long story of how God did something wonderful in a person's life, and God can use all of these things to bless people. And God can use all of these things to meet needs, but it's not limited to just those things. Hear me this morning. There are as many ways to witness as a state of being for who you are as there are people. And take comfort when he says, "I'm sending help." After all of this, this is what he says. He says, "I'm sending help. Stay here until the Holy Spirit arrives, until you're clothed with power from on high." Don't try to do this just in your own strength. They needed help. They were being entrusted with the greatest news humanity has ever received, and they felt a bit overwhelmed with that. So let me ask you this. What do you need help with this morning? As you come to the table, if you want to have that question on your heart, what do you need help with today? I believe this story can be a model and a grid for handling difficult issues. I think it can be a model, whether you're an individual believer or for our life together as the church. So as your pastor, I say this. I say, let's walk together in the celebrations when life is great and fun and full of hope and full of promise. Let's walk together when sadness comes, when dejection comes, when hopes are dashed. Let's walk together in our conversations. Let's talk and pray and ask the Lord to stay with us. When we have the conversations that we need to have, there'll be one question on my mind and my heart, and it's this. How can this conversation build up the body of Christ? And there'll be a time for explanation when we need information and we need to make room for a full range of responses. There's a time for recognition where we say, where do I hear Jesus in this? Where do I see the Holy Spirit in this? And then proclaim who we are as Bethany, who we are, our vision, our hope. And then we will need reconciliation as well. So I offer this to you as it may be a different way to think about the Road to Emmaus story. And as we journey together, let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus, for always being with us. Thank you that you, just like you and those early disciples, you experienced those moments of conversation and dejection and explanation, of recognition and proclaiming and being reconciled. Thank you, Lord, for loving us enough to walk with us through this journey that we call life. Thank you for wanting to know our thoughts. And as we come to this table to once again receive the bread and the cup from you, we thank you for bringing us to that place of faith and giving us a faith that is stronger than our fears so that we too can be changed. We pray it in your name. Amen.